Power Hour. It's the what? Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and
Native. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crust out your eyes, we about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept, line upon line, the scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I am Captain Yashua.
Shalom, Captain Mariah.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Officer Shai.
Officer Damien, you didn't even shalom the people.
Shalom, Israel. Happy Sabbath.
You had a rough week, Shai?
I did.
I know, I can tell. I see the whole...
It's everything. And, no, you know why? He's waiting to get cursed out for not bringing the charger. And having not the full setup.
He's here.
Hey, but guess what?
That's why we have no signal?
You is
here. Yeah.
Is that why we have no signal?
Oh, yeah. We're not using the screen today. That
month. Oh. That's fucking amazing. Doesn't think of anything.
He spoiled us. And then took it away.
And then, hey, that's how I felt. Like, how do you, like, bring them up and then have to put them down for a week?
Obviously, it wasn't that important to you, though, because you still messed up. You didn't give us a good credit.
She's a handful.
Hey, I don't know if people saw you trying to squeeze behind me, but that dad bod is like turning into something extreme.
That bad?
I don't know, bro.
He said that dad bod.
To think this was my practitioner one partner.
But did you see his, I thought it was hilarious, the little meme. It looked kind of just like him. But when they were like, his wife was like, you going to join the fitness group? He's like,
this man right here has nothing to do with fit. He wants nothing to do with fitness.
Bro, but he was so fit when he was taking Krav Maga, bro.
He was
killing it. He was fast, everything, bro. Hand speed.
I tell you, he was my partner, but we did good, right?
I know. And then he left you with Ruvane. I don't even want to get into that. He had Ruvane all intimidated to be his partner. Like, yo, you're doing it too hard. But then when he would do it to Ruvane, he was messing him up. It's like my knee, my elbow, my liver, my spleen,
my skin,
my earlobe,
my whole being,
the oxygen I breathe, everything.
Yeah. Anyway, so welcome to the show. Happy Sabbath to the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Green.
Why does the camera look like tilted? Like we're tilted. Look, we look tilted.
Yeah, we look tilted. We look.
Oh, and then we're on one camera too. Okay, damn, the whole setup is jacked up. Can we see? Are we still tilted? I don't see. I know there's a delay. I don't know if it's adjusted. Okay, there we go. It's moving. There we go. Hold on. Wait, no, I tilted back a little. No, do it again.
I already messed up this week.
Okay, no, wait. There we go. Yeah.
All right.
Whatever you did the last time, I guess now it's showing. Okay. I guess that's a little better. Look at me just laughing about it, too. You should be crying over there.
No, I'm on a bus to read that song.
Look, even my co-hosts, they're so disinterested right now.
No, actually, I'm just looking at this.
Anyway, all right. Oh, you want to read a scripture to get us back in the spirit? What are you going to read?
Oh, no, I'm not going to read nothing.
Oh,
I'm reading Psalms 51 for myself.
Yeah, for yourself,
yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Lord have mercy.
Let thine own self be true.
Yeah.
Let thine own self be true. So,
get a question of how you like the Mets.
That's the only nice thing today. The Mets.
That's the saving grace.
That's the only nice thing is the Mets.
Yeah, they came with armbands too.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Those are like junior armbands. Anyway, so welcome to the show. This week we're going to read a couple articles here. So and we're going to talk a little bit about. Remember, I said the voting's coming up. The voting, they were talking about that. We're not going to get like too deep into it, but just a reminder to the people out there about the politics. You know, I think especially, you know, you have people who follow us you know, they might be in their path to repentance and they're like, yeah, we don't vote. But I've mentioned it before. We kind of get this, I don't know, it's just human nature that we find ourselves picking sides, right? Like, you know, so if you're only given two options, so instead of people saying, I don't want either of them,
right?
We tend to kind of choose a side a little bit, right? So there's a lot of stuff going on. So I found this pretty interesting because they were talking about that it's kind of unorthodox, right? So we'll start with this article, and we'll talk about this a little bit, and then I'm going to go to the other one, which is the real funny one. And they were saying the Secretary of State, it was Mike Pompeo, there was a big deal because he was actually going to be speaking via, I guess if he was a person, he would have done it in person. So apparently he was going to be speaking at the Republican National Convention. And apparently, I noticed, like, typically, it's one of those, it's kind of like baseball, the unwritten rules, like the etiquette. It's been, like, decades and decades.
Well,
and,
right.
Like, usually these Secretary of States are supposed to show, even though they're picked by the administration that's in power, which would be Republican or Democrat, they're supposed to show
impartiality
and not really an allegiance or whatever. So everybody was saying it's very unusual. So then they launched an investigation, you'll read about it, into him because he was doing it from Jerusalem. So the whole thing, I said, wait a second. The headline reads, Mike Pompeo claims Jerusalem as a city of God in convention speech aimed at white evangelicals. And so the headline, this was a good headline. Like, I just started looking at it and I said, this is strategy. There's not some happenstance that he just happened to be over there to do this. And as we read about it, you'll see, like, out of Trump's own mouth, it's strategy for him. So, but anytime I see them saying Jerusalem as the city of God, in its present state and form, it is not the city of God. All right? I mean, you saw, I just keep thinking of the video of when they, Bishop and them were in Israel, and the dude's taking a crap, like.
I know, I can't get that image right on my mind, man.
Just on the side, random right there. But it says, Mike Pompeo claims Jerusalem as a city of God in convention speech aimed at white evangelicals. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on the second night of the 2020 Republican convention, gave a speech from Jerusalem that was a symbolic nod to white conservative Christians in the United States. Notice the target audience. When a white conservative Christians in the United States. Don't lose sight of that. In a pre-taped address filmed with the old city of Jerusalem in the background, Pompeo claimed that President Trump has made Americans safer. And this is the part, I guess, that the Democrats and even some Republicans were upset about, because they're saying, like, we'll read about it, he's using funds to pick a side or whatever. So basically, they're saying this thing was staged for him to do it from there, right? It says that a 56-year-old Republican said that Trump has held China accountable for covering up the coronavirus earlier this year. He referred to COVID-19, which has killed over 182,000 Americans, as the China virus, which it is. He said it came from China. The Spanish flu was the Spanish flu because it came from Spain. Nobody said anything. He says he also asserted that Trump has strengthened the North Atlantic Treaty Organization despite the president's years of conflict with members of the Western Alliance. Because of President Trump, NATO is stronger, Pompeo said. The speech sparked criticism on a number of fronts, in particular because Pompeo was the first Secretary of State in several decades to give a speech at a party convention. So it's been a long time, and they said normally they don't do that. It says numerous former U.S. ambassadors spoke out to say that Pompeo was politicizing foreign policy. But that's nothing new. So they're making it because I guess it was done in such a formal way. They always politicize foreign policy. I think that, I mean, Trump kind of ran on that whole thing, right? Like, foreign policy was part of that's immigration. Part of that was his whole strong arm tactics with who did he push out the way to get in the front of the thing? I mean, he forgot about that.
The
Like a
I think it was it Theresa May?
Yes.
The British one,
yes.
The British party. They pushed her out the way to get Brett. And it says, they say Pompeo may also have violated the Hatch Act by giving the speech during an official trip, since the act forbids government officials from using taxpayer-funded resources for partisan purposes. So that's the part where they're getting on him. The State Department claimed that no taxpayer money was used in support of the speech. But Pompeo arrived in Israel on a government aircraft, and his significant costs for security, lodging, and transportation while on an official trip are fully funded by the government. So they're saying it's so strange that, you know, the timing of the trip
mm-hmm.
was when they knew they were going to do the convention. Like, basically, it was a setup. Like, you know, it was a political staging.
Right.
Because they put Old Jerusalem in the backdrop and everything.
Huh.
And it says, the House Foreign Affairs Committee's oversight panel has begun a preliminary investigation into Pompeo's use of taxpayer funds for his speech. Less remarked upon was the fact that Pompeo used the nation of Israel as a backdrop for a partisan and religious message to white evangelical Christians. And this is the part that we're going to be dealing with on the show today. So it says, who have been Trump's most loyal voting bloc, but have shown some signs of disappointment with the president in recent months. Pompeo spoke at length about Trump's policy choices, brokering a peace deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, declaring that Israel has authority over the disputed Golan Heights, and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the U.S. embassy there. That's for the evangelicals, Trump said last week, adding of the embassy move. You know, it's amazing with that. The evangelicals are more excited by that than the Jewish people. On Tuesday night, Pompeo described Jerusalem as this very city of God, the rightful capital of the Jewish homeland. So it's funny because then you're not going to say that it's political. Like, the whole setup was based
right.
on that, right? But, you know, it irks me when I hear, get me Jerusalem, we trotted down of the Gentiles. I'm sort of tired of the Gentiles. You feel another.
You
want to
get
this
straight to the point?
Start further up. Let's go back a little bit so people understand.
The book of Luke, chapter 20 and chapter 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh.
Right, so this is in 70 AD, all right, when Jerusalem was sieged. And this was kind of the final hurrah, like where our people would no longer be in Jerusalem again, right? This is out of Christ's own mouth. Because we're setting the stage here, because I'm going to show you the hypocrisy of so-called white evangelicals, right? Christianity as a whole, because the other article is funny as hell. I forgot who it is. I don't know if it's Huckabee or somebody else we're going to read about. They call themselves the people of the book. Out of his mouth, there's a quote that we're going to read about that. So we're going to jump on that in a minute. So read it again.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh.
Right, so the desolation thereof is nigh, right? So the abomination of desolation is what he's speaking about. That's another way to speak about Edom, right? The real Gentiles, that's the usually Gentiles, right? Meaning
right.
not always, right? Because Gentiles, we understand, and the scholars even understand it, but a lot of these Christians don't understand it, that it usually means people that are non-Israelites, but usually means not always, right? Not always. It says usually. So here it's talking about those Gentiles. That's the abomination of desolation, meaning those other nations, right? Come on.
Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains.
Right, so let the real Israelites flee to the mountains. Where? They fled to the mountains in Africa, in Egypt, and they got dispersed, I mean, really all over the world based on the prophecy, but chiefly that's where they made their first escape to. Come on.
And let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out.
Right, so he's saying the ones that are in Judea can flee to the mountains, and the ones in the midst of it, meaning the surrounding cities around it as well. So he's telling y'all, all of y'all, get the hell out of there when you see that. Come on.
Let not them that are in the countries enter therein too.
And right, because why? We knew that we were everywhere, right? According to Acts 2, you understood that we came, there was devout Jews out of every nation, meaning Israelites were all over the place, just like we have some brothers that are British citizens and they're Israelites, some that are Dutch citizens and they're Israelites, many of us who are American citizens and we're Israelites. So when he says the countries, he's talking about those that were in the surrounding areas. Why? Because they would have to come back 3 times a year to do their worshiping based on the scriptures in Jerusalem. So he's saying, and even those that are in the country. So he covered everything. He said, them that are in Jerusalem, them in the midst of it, and them in the countries. Come on. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And all the things that are written that may be fulfilled, he's talking about chiefly with Deuteronomy 28 about the siege of Jerusalem, all of the Old Testament prophesizing how we would lose it, Daniel talking about the abomination of desolation. This is all the things that he's speaking about. Come on.
But woe unto them that are withheld, and to them that are that get sucked in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people.
Right? So, again, because of those curses, because why? We would have to, in the siege, we would be eating our children. It says, woe to them that give suck. People were going to want to eat your children, right, out of hunger because of the siege. If you ever get time, you got to read about the siege and how it was set up. Like it's so diabolical the way Esau did this thing. They built another wall between the Jerusalem walls and them to siege them in case some of them were trying to, like, escape. Like, they did some crazy tactics to try to cut them off from that stuff, right? Come on.
And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So it said they would fall by the edge of the sword, and they would be led away captive into all nations, into all nations. This is why at the end of Matthew, he tells you, go ahead and preach in all nations. Because of this prophecy that was going to be fulfilled, because of the history of our captivities, of us being out there and amongst these other nations, just like in John 4 with the Samaritan woman by the well, all right? So all these little subtle parts that Christianity will miss or kind of glaze over and not speak about when they're giving their sermons, when they go into their theology programs and all that stuff like that. But read the last part again, and it shall be trodden down. Go ahead.
And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Meaning there is a time for them, right? There's times. Second Ezra talks about this quite a bit, where it talks about the different times and how it's set up, right? The main one, get me the one, is it 6 and 9? With Jacob is the beginning and Esau is the end, right? So when he says the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So if there's a time that the Gentiles must be in rulership, that also means that there is a time for it to end, right? There's a dispensation of time for them. Their empire will not rule forever. They will not be the top nation in the world forever, the top ruling power, right? So read this.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth,
right? So there is something after the end, right? Because Esau's always doing these movies with the apocalypse, the end times, the end of the earth. The earth ain't going nowhere, all right? The scripture tells you that, right? What were you going to say?
Yeah, just a quick precept with that real quick. Because this man understands that his kingdom has an expiration date. So this is
right
during the time of Christ. Christ casts out an evil spirit. And this is what the Spirit said
that's
unto
good.
Christ.
That's
it says Matthew 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
Right. It said, as thou come hither to torment us before the time. Meaning, now is not the time. Like, now we got reign to do what we need to do in the earth. So you can't usurp that. Read this again in Ezra.
2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world.
The time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Right. Jerusalem will be trodden down to the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I don't know. Look around. Look at the two guys running for the top office in the world, right? Because the hell with your Republican and Democrat, they're both crusty old white men, right?
They.
Who the world ignorantly calls white men, who the Bible says are the Edomites, all right? And I don't think that time is fulfilled yet. So that place cannot be the city of God without God's people in it.
That's Right.
Right. The evangelicals are more excited than the people themselves living there.
Right, right. Go back to Luke. Read that last part again.
All the wars and stuff that are going on there. How's that?
Right, all the unrest. Right, because the scripture tells you that the whole earth is going to be at peace and rest when that man is cut down. And the earth is not at peace and at rest.
No, and the land is shared by two heathens.
Right, right. And the mere fact that an outside country has to declare that this is, and there's many countries that won't make that acknowledgement. It goes straight. The whole thing is political,
right,
and that is out of order.
He said, I don't know about you, but I don't hear fir trees rejoicing just yet.
Yeah, listen, Pompeo says this very city of God, the rightful capital of the Jewish homeland.
For the ignorant people.
No, not the Jewish homeland, the Israelite homeland. Right. Jewish is to be like something. Read that last part again.
The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
For something to be trodden down means it's not in its real estate.
Right.
It's not in its real glory, right? Christ even said that when he returns, he'll build it up in its glory in a matter of days, right? And remember, they were saying, look how magnificent the temple was and everything, and he was like, no, right? It is a time for the Gentiles. It says Jerusalem will be trodden down until that time is fulfilled, until their end is done. And when will it not be trodden? When will it really be a city of God? When the Israelites are in their rightful place. Give me Psalms 82 and 1.
The mere word trodden represents that it's going to be taken
absolutely
by force.
Right, right.
They didn't take it by force. They were given it under the Balfour Declaration.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I thought about even bringing that up, but I said, then we're not going to have enough time for that. But that's all stuff when we do, because apparently they moved our slot. Did you see the ad? I know you showed me the ad. Did you see the ad? I don't know. I got to talk to them about that. For the Sunday show that we got to start. So, right? Hold on. I'm looking for the definition of trodden.
Yeah, I was looking too.
Okay. So it says tread is the trodden is the past tense. Mm-hmm. Tread, right? And it says a manner or the sound of someone walking, meaning under their foot, trample upon.
Yeah, they get stomped on. Most
right.
With his big black feet.
Set one's foot down on top of, right?
Yep.
Crush or flatten something with the feet. That's why Christ's going to come with his big black feet
in the words
to tread
of
on them. He said he's going to tread the wine press.
Right. So is that cool? Right. That's why he uses that.
The Most High, something else, boy. It's not even irony. He's like, oh, I'm going to give you the same vengeance, right? So you were going to put my people as your footstool and trodden down on my people. So now I'm going to come and I'm going to send my son with his big black feet that you disdain. And I'm going to tread upon your rulership.
Just like they had us on their feet on our necks, all these stuff.
Right. A past participle tread every time you look down trodden.
Right.
Step, walk, or trample. So as
trample.
To press, crush, or injure something.
Love it.
Usually followed by on or upon. Read that part again in Luke. Hold on, Psalms 82.
On or upon.
Yeah. It says it's usually followed by on or upon.
Means most of the
tread
time.
Upon, right?
So, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles.
Down to a lower state. You got this Edomite talking about it's the very city of God. You got all these white evangelical Christians all up in arms and enjoy. Out of Trump's own mouth. Happier. You know what? They're happier than the fake Jews are. Because the Jews know that thing ain't theirs.
Right.
And they know and they see and they tremble that the great exceeding army is standing upon their feet in these last days and that their lie is becoming manifest in the earth. So they're scared now. They're nervous now that their time is going to be fulfilled. And I'm telling you, it's not your common, oh, I have a Jewish friend.
Nah.
No, it's not your common. It's not your Seth Rogen. Because even he sees
that. They're still playing with a ladle on Passover. They don't give a damn. Whatever
the hell. It says to injure something, right? The action of treading. Or walking upon. Were we not injured? Were we not destroyed as a people?
That's right.
It says so until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It's not the very city of God. God's not going to be among those people. Give me Psalms 82 and 1.
The book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
If they were so mighty, how come they have to have other nations declare what their capital is? If they were so mighty, how come they still have all this turmoil with Ishmael, right? The sons of Ishmael, the so-called Arabs today. How come you have all this unrest, all right, like Captain Farmer was bringing out? They're always in conflict. The land is not like what it should be. It's not an oasis.
It could have been in conflict since I was born.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not much older than me. They've been in conflict since I was born. Right? They've been, listen, supposedly 1948, that should have been the end of it. This was declared their homeland. That's the end of it. It's good to go.
Hey, if they were the real ones, the Palestinians would be bowing at their feet, because that's what
right.
the scripture says.
Right.
And they're not. They're throwing rockets at them every day.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So read this from the top again. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. It says God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Come on. He judgeth among the gods. He judgeth among the gods. They're not gods in the earth. You see how weakly and sickly they are? Because let me tell you something. Even us, as far as a base thing and not being able to get ahead in this earth, all right? Come on. We dominate in almost anything that we do. As a people,
anything.
And I don't mean just physical things, all right? Because I know we go to that a lot, but we got to stop doing that ourselves, too. You know why we go to that? Because they've conditioned us to think that that's all we're good for. Mm-hmm. We are the intellectuals,
yes,
right?
We invented
everything, and they took their name on it. We are the ones that understand true rulership because we have that through the commandments. Democracy is supposed to be one of the greatest inventions in the world. Democracy is demonic. It is a false religion, and it is idolatry. Democracy. Yeah, go ahead.
Give me Isaiah 64, verse 10. That's an absolute joke that dude said that stuff, because that goes against everything the Bible teaches.
Right.
The prophecy would be that Israel would be a desolation until the Israelites were put back in their rightful place. 64, verse 10.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 10. Our holy and our beautiful house.
No.
I'm
Isaiah
sorry.
64, verse 10.
Verse 10. I'm sorry. Verse 11. Verse 10. The holy cities are a wilderness in Zion. I'm sorry. The holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation.
See that? It says that Zion would be a wilderness and Jerusalem would be a desolation. Not the city of God that this man is proclaiming it to be. Read verse 11 now.
Verse 11. Our holy and our beautiful house, praise thee, is burnt up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste.
So that's what the prophecy would be. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, that Jerusalem would be a desolation and Zion a wilderness. Those things are still present today because the Israelites are not in their rightful place of rulership. So this man's a damn liar.
I'm looking for something. Keep talking.
That's true.
Read verse 12.
Verse 12. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?
And the answer is yes, before a supposition of time. God's going to hold his peace. The scripture can't be broken. He said, for your disobedience, these things will happen. If you didn't want these things freely, so now I'm going to make you work for it.
Hey, check it out.
Doing it now.
Check it out. Because I just remember a shout out Tuesday, the video that Bishop put out.
Mm-hmm.
But they eat in my tongue. That's not even a holy wall. That's a freaking part of a wall
right.
of a fortress that the Romans built.
Damn.
They're nothing holy. Come on, man. There's nothing but confusion in that. You got a mosque sitting in the middle, supposedly where the temple was at.
Right.
And that's the Holy Land? The scripture says the Most High is not the author of confusion. That's confusion right there.
The Most High had specific instructions on how those things were meant to be built.
I mean, that's the other thing, too.
And then you had Gentiles come in and build it how they saw fit.
Oh, we'll do it my way.
Yeah, no. Like, nah, nigga, we got this. That's not how it works.
Hey, even the way the Most High describes the way the wall was built and is going to be built,
mm-hmm.
that's a mockery, that thing that's there.
Yeah.
That just looks like they cut a side of a mountain.
Right. So watch this. So the next part says, Israel matters to many white evangelical Christians, given their deeply embedded beliefs about how the world will end, a topic known in theological circles as eschatology. One strain of such beliefs, dispensational pre-millennialism, gosh, that one messed me up because it got dispensational premillennialism interprets the Bible as predicting a historic and violent conflict in Israel as part of the end of the world that will bring about God's kingdom. They literally just told you, he says it's the city of God, and then in the article, they're basically telling you it's not the city of God because they're saying this conflict must happen before that happens. But here's the part that gets me. It says, Israel matters to many white evangelical Christians given their deeply embedded beliefs about how the world will end. They're the end of it, we just read. Mm. Get me Revelation. Let's do 2:26.
Yeah. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words until the end, to him will I give power over the nation.
Because they said they have deeply embedded beliefs about how the world will end. I'm going to show them what the embedded beliefs are. That's talking about the Israelites getting that power. Come on.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
And who is he going to rule? They don't talk about that in the kingdom of heaven. It says that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Come on.
As a vessel of potter shall they break to pieces.
As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. That's what waits for them at the end. Come on.
Even as I received of my Father.
Let me get Revelation 13. And let's start at 6 because this is blasphemy that they're speaking. Right? Come on.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
I'm going to deal with that part more when we start reading the second article. All right, because he goes into that a little more when they say that they believe they're the people of the book. All right, but he says he blasphemed against God, blasphemed God's name and his tabernacle and to them that dwell in heaven. Come on.
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints.
That's what's going on. That and part of that war, right, in the siege of Jerusalem, it was physical. In years after with the diaspora and we were destroyed as a people, it became a spiritual war against spiritual wickedness in high places. And these politics and this, I wanted to show the video of that sheriff in Wisconsin and his cold talk. I forgot to cue it up. Damn, I was going to talk about that today. Yo, I forgot to cue it up.
I like literally watched it like 5 times. I'm like, I can't believe that this dude's saying this stuff.
Yeah, bro. That's worse than I think the guy that was saying the posse's down in Pinal County.
Way worse.
Because that takes, I think, a little more deciphering and understanding to understand what he was saying when he was trying to deputize people down there. But this guy was just like,
super oppressive.
All he had to do was say nigga, and that would have been, it would have known who he was talking about. But go ahead, read.
And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them.
To try to tread us down, to tread us underfoot, to overcome them. Come on.
And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
This was of God. So, yes, we're upset about it. Yes, we're going to be a certain way about it. But their understanding of what that their deeply embedded beliefs about how the world will end, they don't even know how the world is running right now. Mm. They can't even acknowledge this God that they supposedly worship.
That's right.
And the way he's pulling these strings in the earth. It says that these people that are the real Israelites would be trodden upon, not only by Christ's words. You're reading in Revelation, it said we will be overcome, and it said power would be given to this beast over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Come on.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, and of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Right, and it says, and they're all going to worship him. But he's saying the ones that are not written in the book of life, the ones that were slain from the foundation of the world, meaning predestinated to not make it. That's of our people and of the other nations that it's speaking about. Because you got your Uncle Tom's amongst our people.
That's right.
Your Uncle Pedro's amongst our people.
Well, that's where it says book of life.
Right.
Not written in the book of life, because we know that there's two books, right? The Bible that we're going to be judged on, and our own personal books that are documented.
Right. And it says from the foundation where it says those people will worship him. And that's what you're seeing. You got these fake evangelical Christians that are in line with stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And then you got some of our people along with it, right? It's not just the Ben Carsons of the world, because he was speaking at the RNC. Say, oh, Trump's not racist because he employs Mexicans and whatever at his golf resort.
Well, guess what? Edomites employed us too, but with no pay.
Right, exactly.
And servitude.
Right. Go ahead, read on.
And if a man have an ear, let him hear.
And if you're spiritual, understand this. So those that have these deeply embedded beliefs about how the world will end, come on.
He that leadeth into captivity
shall go into captivity. Because this overcoming, right? Notice that this verse is in the same context of when he said that he would trot upon us, he would make war with us, that he would overcome us, right? He would destroy us. It now tells you that how the chief way he did that was captivity, slavery, slavery. And for all you naysayers that say other nations were in slavery, it said he was given power over all nations and kindreds, and that there's some that are not written in the book of life. So guess what? The slavery is an identifier of us as a people. It doesn't define everybody else, but it defines our people. Come on.
He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
And it says, even though all this is going on and we see this and we understand that, he says the patience and faith of the saints. Right? So you want to talk about deeply embedded beliefs about how the world works. The world is going to end with these people in captivity to us. That's how the world is going to end. It says, a former congressman from Kansas, Pompeo, has been an evangelical Christian since his days as a cadet at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Pompeo has been a regular attendee at a Bible study of cabinet members led by Ralph Drollinger, a former basketball player who has become influential among Christian conservatives in Washington over the past 10 years. Drollinger's group, Capital Ministries, teaches that Christians will be raptured out of the earth before a period of great conflict and tribulation takes place. During that time, the group's statements of belief reads, the righteous judgments of God will be poured out upon an unbelieving world. That's right, it will. But they don't know that they're the ones that's going to get it.
Right.
The establishment of a heavenly kingdom, the group believes, will be the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel to restore them to the land which they forfeited through their disobedience. Well, they know, man. They know, but they're going to perpetrate the lie. The result of their disobedience was that Israel was temporarily set aside, but will again be awakened through repentance to enter into the land of blessing. Damn these damn devils. But listen, so here's the other part about this city of God. Get me, is it Matthew 6? I want the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
I want the part where it says, thy kingdom come. The establishment of the heavenly kingdom.
The book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
That's the establishing of it. That is not a city of God. That is not even the real Jerusalem by boundaries or whatever with that fake wall or whatever it is. That's not even the real place. That's what they call Jerusalem. Most of them make Jerusalem wherever you want. They put it right in the middle of the whole so-called Middle East. Boom. And they're thinking this little sliver of land that they got in context of everything there, that little city is Jerusalem and that's it. Remember, he said a new Jerusalem is what he's going to do and what he's going to build. And we went over how big it's going to be. You think it's going to be encompassed in that those boundaries, that the survey that they did to draw those lines on a map? Hell no, that's not how it's going to go down. It says, thy kingdom come. Read it again.
And thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Thy will be done. What will? This will right here. That they will be broken to shivers, like the shards of a potter. All right? And it says that they who they led into captivity, they said, and he that killed with the sword, it said, he must be killed with the sword and must go into captivity. It says that is the patience and that is our faith. So when you say in the faith of Christ, what you're understanding, what you're saying is that you subscribe to this, that you understand that this is what's going to happen. And our patience is in waiting for our rulership to be restored to us again. Read that part again.
Thy will be done.
That's God's will. God's will is to establish his people again, the Israelites, the 12 tribes, who are the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans today, and all those scattered today that might not even call themselves those things, but that fit the curses and are our people, establish them in rulership under one King Christ, and for these other nations to be in subjection to us. Because who's going to do all the work? It's going to be optional for us if we want to do stuff.
That's right.
So they're going to be the one. Listen, they had us as cooks, mammies, and all that stuff like that. We're going to go ahead.
Mammy.
I'm thinking Mamie, the neighbor. I'm thinking our neighbor, Mamie. We had a neighbor named Mamie growing up. She lived like three doors down from us.
Was she someone's cook?
I don't know if she was someone's cook, man, but she was a sweet old Judah lady, bro. She was real nice. And Henry. And they used to give us little spare change to get candy at Dr. Brown's. Mr. Brown's, the laundromat. Yeah, the penny candy.
The illegal number joint, and
it was an illegal number joint too. But in my innocence, it wasn't until I was a teenager that I realized something else was going on.
Big red.
Yeah, big red. The big red numbers. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to have them in captivity that way. So let me go to this other article because there's more on this one. There's a lot more on this one. There's a few more paragraphs, but I want to go to this other one. Haaretz.com. So I want to address where Trump says he moved the embassy to Jerusalem for the evangelicals. So it goes to show you that it's all political. So from the Balfour Declaration and the establishing it as a land for them to begin with, and now you got to move like this with Trump. And remember, I think there was an article I had saved about it. We didn't go into it. And they called it the New Balfour Declaration, and we were supposed to break down the similarities on why it was called that. It says, Trump says move the embassy to Jerusalem for the evangelicals. President Trump says the evangelicals are more excited by controversial Jerusalem embassy move than Jewish people. U.S. And, you know, why would it be such a big deal that a foreign embassy being placed in Jerusalem? It goes to show you. So you got idiots out there talking about that the Esau is not the white man, it's the Arab man or whatever it is. Man, you dumb as hell. It's telling you that all people would worship this beast. That all kindreds and tongues and whatever would have power over it. As the U.S. goes, so does the whole world.
That's right. The UAE understands that.
Yep.
And so do these other so-called Arab nations that are signing this so-called peace agreement.
Yep. They get it.
They know they still have to succumb.
Yep. All that rebellion and whatever, that part of that's their nature, part of that's just political stuff.
Yep.
Right? So it says, U.S. President Donald Trump said Monday that he moved the United States Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem for the evangelicals, marveling that Christians are more excited by that than Jewish people. Trump made these remarks during an election campaign rally at an airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, as he visited Midwestern battleground states, holding campaign events in an effort to counter program media coverage of the Democratic National Convention, which took place virtually on the same day. It says, and of course, they want to make it about anti-Semitism right away. So he just did a major move for them and moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And you got a guy here saying, in other words, the Jews aren't properly appreciated.
Mm.
So now they want to twist it and spin it. It says, we moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem, Trump said. That's for the evangelicals. You know, it's amazing with that. The evangelicals are more excited by that than Jewish people. It's incredible. And the Golan Heights, don't forget what we did for the Golan Heights. Do you know why I get Revelation 2 and 9? This is why they're more excited than the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people know that they're not
right.
The real Jews of the
world. Exactly. That's exactly why. They're like, all right, whatever, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich.
And it says, I know thy works, I know thy tribulation. He's talking, why? Because the Israelites in these last days were supposed to be in poverty and in tribulation, right? Meaning poor in spirit, right? Don't get it twisted and just means that we would all be broken, whatever. That's part of the curses to some of our people, but not all of us are clearly like that. But it's talking about meaning not having the true understanding in Christ and knowing that we are the people of the book, right? And he knows our tribulation, which is the captivity and death by the sword, being trodden upon. But he says, but thou art rich. Why? Because the promises of God, the adoption of sons and the kingdom of heaven, the law and everything pertains to us.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us rich. Come on.
And I know the blasphemy of them, which they say they are Jews and are not.
And he says that blasphemy. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. Come on.
And are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
The Bible says that there will be a people in these last days that would say they are the Jews, but he says they are not. He says that they are the synagogue of Satan. They are the emissaries of Satan to fulfill Satan's will. There is a time and a dispensation for them.
I had someone that pulled this on me and tried to say, well, see, you guys saying you're Jews is this. I said, well, the first part of it destroys that because
right.
The people that say they're Jews own everything.
Right. Mm. They do. Look at the influence they have and whatever. Hey, this show might get shut down because of what I just said with that scripture. They might end the whole show on replay off of that. Right? But that's power. And it says, no, it says you have your tribulation. I know your poverty. And not just that, the world only accepts one group of people as the so-called Jewish people in these last days. So it by its nature alone, that should not exist. That precept should not exist if those people over there are really
right. There was no need for Christ to say it. I don't even once, but twice in the same
right,
book.
Right. Because we're minor. I mean, we're not minor to the Most High and what the Most High has planned.
Right.
But we're minor in the bigger schemes of the earth to what they don't give us premier voicing opinions. We're not able to shut things down when they speak out against us. Mm-hmm. No, it's anti-Semitic when we say something contrary to that, despite the proof of what the Bible says. And mind you, that's not really anti-Semitism. By their definition, anti-Semitism is derogatory type statements, mm-hmm. right? If they really want to say something, they can try to say that it's cultural appropriation, but
right.
it's not anti-Semitism.
Right. And anti-Semitism because it's just them.
Right, right. Any negative speak about them, they dub it under anti-Semitism. That's not anti-Semitism.
Yep. Well, the woman said it in her video.
Right. She said it's a trick. She goes, in America, when people say stuff we don't like about it, we say anti-Semitism. In Europe, we start talking about the Holocaust. People down. Mm-hmm. And she said because they are powerful people, the Jewish people she's talking about, and they don't like to be spoken of negatively. So they have these tactics put in place.
Yeah, it's a crusty, nasty ass.
Yeah, you going to bring something out? I see you going there. Go ahead.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm going to look for something anyway. So
well, then let's get Revelation 3. Let's read it again. Christ said it twice.
There he goes. What the?
Sounds nice. Make it twice.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan.
To them, which are the fake Jews that are proclaiming to be the Israelites of the earth, reach.
Which say they are Jews.
Which say that they are the Jews, what?
And are not.
But they're not the Jews, reach.
But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
So this is the one that I like a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, it goes into them worshiping before our feet. And then they're going to know, hey, listen, these are my people. Because for God to love us as children, he says, then he must chastise us. These people aren't being chastised by God. Not yet. Not yet, though.
Yeah, and our chastisement is for us to repent. Their chastisement
right.
is for their destruction when that
right.
comes. Check this out. I wanted to look up the definition of anti-Semitism. So it says anti-Semitism is hostility to, prejudice, or discrimination against Jews. How is bringing out this understanding that they are not anti-Semitism? It's none of those things. We're not distributing hostility to them, nor prejudice, nor discrimination. It goes to show you how it's the power that they wield and the BS that they put behind it to shut things down. And they know this because, look, in this own thing here, right, it says the root word Semite gives the false impression that anti-Semitism is directed against all Semitic people, including Arabs, Assyrians, and Arameans. They understand that Semite does not mean just the so-called Jews. They understand that part. Yet, they'll say us bringing this proper understanding, I have not displayed hostility to them. I have not displayed prejudice or discrimination against them in any of the statements that we've made.
No, in fact, it was very eloquent.
We
it was
small.
Very
we read earlier in Revelation 13 where it says, and power was given to him.
Yeah.
That power has not been given to us
power.
To, like you say, to censor things that are being said, right? They have that type of power. That's the power that they've been given. And for us to read the scriptures to expose that is not anti-anything.
Yeah.
It's just true.
It's amazing to me the power that they have because nobody's addressed this part of it.
Right.
Nobody, like, they make them apologize instead of them just saying, I didn't say anything hostile, prejudice, or discriminatory against them.
Yeah.
I just stated a fact. Who wouldn't like to be told, hey, I acknowledge that you have power in the earth, that everything runs through you?
Guess what? Prove to me that this is you.
Right. This is anti-Semitism is generally considered to be a form of racism.
The burden of proof is on them.
So when racism is displayed against our people, we don't get the apologies or the nothing.
Nope.
They appease us with some talk of change. They let us riot and protest.
Yep.
And then the cycle continues on.
Like, oh, no, he deserved to die because he had a dime sack of weed when he was 16.
How do we have any power or authority to show racism against
nope.
so-called Jewish people?
None. Who was the comedian that was saying that? Like,
Seth Rogen.
No, he was saying...
The Indian dude
there
with the racism.
There was someone that was
saying
that.
About racism.
No, it was the Indian dude. CK. Something CK.
No, he did one that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, when you talk about time traveling.
Oh.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just, I think it was Paul Mooney that said that you can say, I'm going to kill somebody every single day of your life and stand on the corner yelling at the top of your lungs, but until you do it, you're never a murderer.
Right. Yeah.
So you can say all you want, but there's no action behind it. These people have actions behind their things to promote their racism. We don't, as a people. We're powerless.
Yep.
But the one that you're talking about is the guy that was talking about the reverse racism.
Right, right. He would say, oh, that's
yeah,
right. He
that
says this. He goes, that can't be reverse racism. But anyway, so he says, so Trump goes on and he says, with the phrase move the Capitol, Trump appeared to be referring to his decision to officially recognize Jerusalem. Notice the language that he used that went under people's thing. He said, we moved the Capitol to Jerusalem. And they're saying, no, what he did was move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Right.
But he's letting you know that what really that move was behind him. Those were instructions given to him to do that. He didn't do that on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He was told to do that. And why do you think that wording slipped? Because he's not smooth. He's somebody that just, he doesn't think before he speaks. That's why he repeats himself two or three times as he's speaking,
mm-hmm.
because he's adjusting what he said as it came out instead of just staying it in here first.
He's super base. He's not smooth or nothing at all.
Yeah. You notice that about him, right? When he says something, people think that, he is dumb. But he's not dumb. He's not dumb. Like, he's slick in the way that he moves in what he's saying and what he does. But he's dumb in the sense that the reason he'll repeat something, it was great. And it was great and it was that. Because most normal people will form it in their head and then say it. He just says it. And that's the first time his mind is registering it as he speaks it, which is why he repeats it. So anyway, I make that point to say it was not a slip for him to say move the Capitol.
Nope.
That's why it's the new Balfour.
And they're saying, I've read articles saying that God is with him.
Right. Right. Oh, well, that's just the evangelical white Christian. That's what we're speaking about. They freaking love the hell out of him. Why? Because they're all racist just like him.
That's right.
So he says, with the phrase move the Capitol, Trump appeared to be referring to his decision to officially recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. This is what he said. He said, we moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem.
Facebook messing with the comments.
Really?
Yeah.
With the phrase move the Capitol, Trump appeared to be referring to his decision to officially recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital on December 6, 2017, followed by the official relocation of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on May 14, 2018. Jerusalem has been Israel's capital since 1949, although many countries do not recognize it as such. Earlier the same day, appearing on Fox and Friends, Trump also framed the agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates as being incredible for his evangelical supporters. It's an incredible thing for Israel, and it's incredible for the evangelicals, by the way, Trump said. The evangelicals love Israel. Love Israel. While the Wisconsin remarks were the first time the president has stated plainly that the decision he made in 2017 and implemented in 2018 was designed to please his evangelical base, Trump has previously noted that Christians were more grateful to him for the decision than Jews. I tell you what, I get more calls of thank you from evangelicals. And I see it in the audiences and everything else that I do from Jewish people. Trump told evangelical leader and former Arkansas governor Mike Huckabee shortly after the embassy move took place. And the Jewish people appreciate it, but the evangelicals appreciate it more than the Jews. It's not a surprise, though, Mr. President, because evangelicals are people of the book, Huckabee said in response. He said they are people of the book. Let me show you something. Let's get Micah 2. People of the book. This goes with Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. So try to think. He's white evangelical. Trump said he did it for white evangelicals. Huckabee didn't say white. He said evangelicals. But we know who they're speaking about.
Right.
So they're saying white evangelicals are the people of the book, right? So get Micah 2:1.
The book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When morning is light, they practice it because it is the power of their mind.
It is in the power of their hand. Damn, bro, you all jacked up.
Yeah.
Even and everything.
He said, yeah, I'm sorry.
He figures if he apologizes fast, I'll stop getting on this. He says they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. It says they do it when the morning is light, meaning they do it right in front of your face.
Right.
Just like what I brought out with the point about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, by its definition, is hostility, prejudice, or some physical types of acts against them. Right? Let me read it again. is hostility to, prejudice, or discriminate. There is no way we can discriminate against Jews who own everything and run everything.
Nope.
How? What power do I have to discriminate against them? They're not going to eat in my shop anyway because it's not going to meet their requirements.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a food store, they're not going to buy nothing from me. They won't buy it from themselves.
Right.
They're more united than we ever are. How can I discriminate against them? What can I do to suppress their rights or us as a people? Nothing. Boom. That one's out the way. Prejudice? How do I show prejudice to them? We know and we've seen what this man has done in the earth and ever done. How many more chances do we got to give them? We know what they're about. They don't have no culture. They don't have no background. Everything they have, they stole and robbed from other people. That's not prejudice. Prejudice is judging somebody before you know about them. We know him very well. And then hostility. Come on, man. Our battle is spiritual. What hostility are we displaying toward them? Zero. Zero. There's not a person here that displays hostility to anybody in this. We'll defend ourselves should we be attacked. There's not a person that's an Israelite keeping these commandments, understanding that if at all possible, we should live peaceably with all men. That's the commandment of God, is displaying any of that. But in daylight, they can throw that anti-Semitism stuff out all day and be all right with it. They can move embassies.
Hostility is just speaking facts. That's
right.
That's what they're
right. They'll call it. They'll call that hostility. Speaking facts.
You said the people of the book?
They're the people of the book.
The people in the book.
The people in the book.
Right. Obadiah.
Yeah. Oh, which? I was going to say that. No, they are people of the book. But which people of the book?
Right.
There's a lot of people of the book.
Genesis 25.
Right. Read the next verse. 14. Right. But this is the part when he says that irked me. Go ahead. Read the next part.
And they covet fields and take them by violence.
You want more?
I'll tell you what to stop. Just keep
and going. Houses and take them away. And so they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage.
They oppress a man and his house, the house of Israel, and his heritage, and his heritage, and his heritage. Meaning that they would devise a crafty counsel to conceal the true Jews, the true Israelites in these last days, and put themselves up. That's how they oppress it. Because they put themselves in that place. Let me get Jeremiah 17:4 so that you can understand that this whole Bible is our heritage. And to try to keep that from us and say that any of the people are the people of the book. Because I know what he meant. We made a joke about it that, yeah, you're the people of the book. Obadiah,
right?
Daniel, right? Ezra's and prophecies against them in Isaiah and Jeremiah in Revelation. But the people of the book, what he's implying is, the people of God, the adoption of sons, which only applies to the Israelites. Go ahead, read that real quick.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage.
It's talking to the Israelites. It said we would discontinue from our heritage. And how? Micah tells you that these people were going to oppress us by violence. They were going to take it from us. They were going to take our houses and our people. They were going to oppress a man in his house. Indeed, even a man and his heritage. Come on, read that.
And that, and even thyself shall even discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not.
That's how we would discontinue, by serving our enemies. Because in that captivity, we couldn't read, we couldn't hold on to our history and customs. They separated us, they separated families, and what? Through the process of time, we lost our true identity. Come on.
For ye have kindled a fire in my anger.
Yes, it was for our disobedience. We kindled a fire in God's anger for disobedience to him. Because he made everything. Can you imagine? Think about it. I'm going to do this from a husband and wife perspective. And I set up a whole fancy dinner for you to come home from work, right?
Mm.
I have everything laid out. Dinner, candles, romantic music. I got gifts for you and everything, right? All set up real nice. And you're like, I don't want that. I think I want to order pizza today and drink a beer and do something else. I'm creating a similar tool for that's exactly what we did as God made everything. He prepared a table for us with everything, the best of everything. And we said we wanted other gods. We wanted other things. You ain't going to be angry. As a man, you do that for your wife. Or as a wife, she set that up for her husband. They ain't going to be angry for that?
Of course.
You get something for your kids. Let's go to the real relationship. God is the father and us are the children.
Oh my goodness.
And they don't want that and they're not appreciative of it. And let's say you know that you just busted your behind.
Right.
Taking days to build this thing for us.
They call you by your first name, but then call the neighbor's mom and dad.
Right. What type of stuff is that? Exactly. That's another good one. That's funny. Right? So he said he was angry with us. We kindled an anger. Come on, finish it up. Which shall burn forever. He said that anger is going to burn forever until we repent. That's the forever, until we repent. So here he says, it's not a surprise, though, Mr. President, because evangelicals are the people of the book. And they believe you kept a promise. We're fulfilling nearly a 3,000-year-old commitment to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Trump replied, I think it's a nice thing to say, because it really affects Jewish people in theory more. But as you say, people of the book, people of the Bible, but the evangelicals really appreciate it, and that makes me feel good. The embassy relocation of May 2018 was deeply controversial in the face of the 1980 United Nations Security Council decision in favor of Resolution 478, which bans diplomatic missions from the city. Although numerous previous U.S. presidents from both parties had promised during their campaigns to make the move, before Trump, they had refrained from doing so, bowing to the position that the final status of Jerusalem should be part of the Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations. The evangelical community was prominently represented at the ceremony inaugurating the Jerusalem embassy, which included blessings by pastors John Hagee and Robert Jeffress, who led a delegation of evangelical leaders. The decision to invite Jeffress to speak was controversial in light of the remarks he made in 2010, suggesting that non-Christian religions, including Judaism, lead people away from God to an eternity of separation from God and hell. This is all that Micah 2, 1 and 2. They devised all this iniquity on their beds, yet all these evangelicals out there, they went all the way to Jerusalem to inaugurate the embassy over there. Speaking in Wisconsin, Trump also warned against the foreign policy consequences of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris taking emerge victorious in November, including a revival of the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. So he just talks about that, and that's where he goes from there. Sometimes, damn, I didn't read the content. Long live Trump, long live Pompeo. Damn. Most of us are aware of the shenanigans, he says. An immoral man making an immoral decision. How about the Palestinians? Golly, that's all I got on that. If y'all guys got anything you want to run with.
No, I got 10 minutes.
Anyway, that's the politics, bro. That's how they do it, right? But was it not? Politics that had Jesus Christ crucified. To some extent, yeah, I guess you could say that technically, because they politicized the high priesthood and they didn't want to lose their seat of power and stuff like that.
Yeah, but so, I don't see the point of the question.
Yeah, I guess trying to say about policy. He's just studying at DLive. Live video interrupted.
It's been doing that the whole thing.
Oh,
God. They're not seeing comments.
I'm not going to blame them. I'm going to blame the topic for that. I think it's the topic. They're buffering our stream or something like that. Anyway, with that, we say shalom before they cut us off and we can't say bye. Shalom.
Shalom.
it's like every time we talk about, like,
them,
Jerusalem or anti-Semitism.